Welcome to The Morning Magazine. It's Friday, June 23rd of 2023. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Coming up on today's program, members of Colorado's Turkish community and local musicians have teamed up to organize a concert to benefit victims of the massive earthquakes that hit Turkey and Syria earlier this year. We'll hear from one of the organizers. Then Jimmy Searfoss will bring us his weekly regional sports roundup. And .org puts a spotlight this week on the Cosmos Cooperative. At the bottom of the hour, Connections comes your way. Host Duncan Campbell is back again this week with his regular guest, Lisa Graves. Then at 9:30, Meredith Carson will host the Morning Sound Alternative from the Denver studio. That's all still coming up, but first, these headlines with KGNU's Benita Lee.
Abortion rights advocates in Boulder will gather at the Central Park Bandshell Saturday to increase awareness about the ongoing fight for reproductive care in the United States. It's one of countless rallies planned across the country to mark the first anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. The YWCA Boulder County and the Women's Collaborative of Boulder County said tomorrow's event is meant to bring supporters of health care and reproductive rights together in solidarity. Last year's decision by the U.S. Supreme Court led to 14 states passing near-total abortion bans. However, according to Reuters, opinion polls indicate that most Americans want abortion to be legal in all or most situations. In Colorado, lawmakers swiftly responded to the court decision by codifying state rules around reproductive rights. Since then, the state has become a haven for those traveling from restrictive states to seek abortions. The Supreme Court ruled 5-4 against the Navajo Nation Thursday in a case about their rights to water from the Colorado River. The Navajo Nation is the largest reservation in the U.S. It's located along the Colorado River, and despite this, a third of its population do not have running water in their homes. Navajo Nation lawyers called the request modest and said the nation just wanted an assessment on its water needs and how to meet those needs, according to the Associated Press. Justice Neil Gorsuch agreed with the sentiment in a dissent and likened the Navajo's struggles to spending time waiting for help at the DMV. Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote that water allocations in the West are a, quote, zero-sum situation, and that Congress and the president are responsible for laws regarding water allotments. Boone Nigrin, the president of the Navajo Nation, said the ruling was disappointing, but promised to continue to try to obtain water rights for his people. The city of Boulder is holding firm in its opposition to Xcel Energy's electric rate settlement agreement, which the company submitted to state utility officials back in November. Xcel is asking Colorado's Public Utilities Commission to allow it to increase its total revenues collected from customers by over $260 million. That would mean an over 8% bill increase for residents, an over 7% increase for small businesses, and a 5-7% increase for larger companies. In a statement Thursday, Boulder officials said they support Xcel's proposal to invest in wildfire mitigation as part of its application. But they're questioning whether the company's overall rate height increases, plus a proposed 10% rise in equity return for its shareholders, is fair to community members already burdened by rising utility prices. Boulder Mayor Aaron Brockett echoed these concerns. In a letter to the commission, he said, quote, "It seems there are still opportunities to tighten the belt a bit and make sure it is not just Xcel's customers who must bear the brunt of these financially challenging times." The city filed testimony in the proceeding, and public comments can still be submitted on the commission's website. Hearings will begin July 10th. The commission will decide after the hearings whether to accept, revise, or reject Xcel's settlement. Commerce City Council is looking to pass a new housing licensing and inspection ordinance next month. KGNU's Porja Junket reports.
Under the new ordinance, the city would inspect rental units of all property owners for compliance to health and safety codes. Property owners with units that pass the inspection would then be able to obtain mandatory licenses. If a unit fails the inspection, landlords would have up to 60 days to address violations. Consequences of failing to address violations would include fines, revocation of the landowner's license, and potentially even criminal charges. The nonprofit organization United for a New Economy, or UNE, paved the way for the measure. Their efforts took 8 months, hundreds of conversations with tenants, and meetings with Commerce City Council members. UNE's work focuses on building racial and economic justice in Adams County. For KGNU, I'm Por Jae-jong-kit.
Congressman Joe Nagus announced Thursday that the Department of Transportation is giving $25 million to Boulder County to improve its travel infrastructure between Longmont and Boulder. The grant's funding comes from the bipartisan infrastructure law enacted in November of 2021. Nagus, who represents Colorado's 2nd Congressional District, wrote Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg in February seeking support for the so-called Colorado 119 Diagonal Highway Mobility Improvement Project. Plans for the project include a regional bikeway, a bus rapid transit line, and intersection safety improvements. For the first time in 20 years, the city of Boulder has a new canine unit, and her name is Astro. KGNU's Kara Zizzo reports.
Astro was officially sworn in Wednesday by Boulder Police Chief Maris Herold. According to a city press release, the 1.5-year-old lab pointer mix will be an explosives detection and community engagement dog. She will also be called in for gun-related crime work. The police canine was named in honor of fallen officer Eric Talley's favorite sports team, the Houston Astros. Astro hails from Washington State and will soon begin training with her human handlers. For KGNU, I'm Kira Zizzo.
A tornado touched down in Highlands Ranch Thursday afternoon, knocking down fences and trees, causing power outages and flooding intersections. South Metro Fire Rescue officials said some hail-related injuries were reported, but most community calls to firefighters were related to structural damage. According to a sheriff's office spokeswoman, the dispatch center received 282 reports of damage. Denver is hosting several Pride events this weekend as month-long celebrations come to a close. As part of Saturday's Pride Fest, the Pride 5K will gather participants to, quote, run, walk, roll, or sashay in a loop that starts and ends at the Colorado State Capitol building. The 5K event raises funds to support the center on Colfax. And on Sunday, festivities will continue with the Coors Light Denver Pride Parade down Colfax Avenue from Cheeseman Park to Civic Center. In Boulder today, a high of 73, mostly sunny, with a light wind. Tonight, a low around 48 degrees. In Denver, mostly sunny with a high of 87. Tonight, a low of 52 with wind gusts up to 22 miles per hour. In Fort Collins, a high of 79 and a slight chance of thunderstorms after 3 p.m. A low tonight of 52. For KGNU, I'm Benita Lee.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Shannon Young. A series of massive earthquakes tore through a region along Turkey's shared border with Syria in February of this year. The largest of them occurred on February 6th, and it was the second most powerful earthquake in Turkey's recorded history. The earthquakes killed nearly 60,000 people and displaced millions. Many of the affected families were already displaced by the Syrian civil war. A group of Colorado musicians with ties to the region are doing their part to assist with the rebuilding effort. Joining me in studio is Egemen Kesikli, a composer and performer who is originally from Turkey, but who currently teaches music theory and musicology at Colorado State University and is the director of CU Boulder's Soundworks. Thank you for dropping by the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start off with this benefit concert. You're organizing this concert for Sunday, June 25th. Who all will be playing with you?
Oh, yeah. There will be several musicians, some of whom are friends of mine from school. Some of them are our colleagues. We will have Don Schumacher, who is a violist. We will have John Clay Allen, who will be playing some Bach and some of his own works. And we will have Melda Turunjolu, who is also from actually the Hatay region in Turkey, and she will be playing classical guitar. And there will be two ensembles. One is a Turkish Massage Owl, which is an ensemble of mine, and we play tunes from the region in several languages. And we will have Şerefe, you know, Boulder's beloved Şerefe, and they've been playing music from the West Asian regions and for the past couple of decades in Boulder, Denver area.
And describe a bit about the Turkish and the Syrian communities here in the Front Range and the culture that they bring with them.
To Boulder, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, first of all, we do have a big population from the region. And one of the nice things about, I think, living in Boulder is that you actually get to hear all these different languages in the region in just one tiny little town in the, you know, in Colorado. But we will be singing in Turkish, Armenian, Kurdish, and Arabic. And these are some of the, only four of the languages that are actually spoken in the region. They're talking about over 72 different languages actually in the region. So this is merely a representation of some of the languages and some of the cultures in the music, and yet still each tune is going to sound a little bit different, not just linguistically but also sonically and in aesthetics. So yeah, we're very excited to present some of these different cultural musics in one concert.
So let's stop talking about the music and rather hear some of it. You brought your instrument. Can you tell listeners on the radio what you brought with you and what we're about to hear?
Sure. What I'm holding right now is an oud, which is a fretless lute instrument. And this instrument is used all over West Asia, you know, Armenia, Turkey, Kurdistan, and Syria, Iraq, Iran. All of these countries have their own kind of version of this instrument. This is also observed in Lebanon, too. So, again, pretty much the entire West Asian regions. And each country's oud is slightly different, be it the tuning system or the colors and the type of music that it would play on it. But technically, it's a fretless instrument, which allows us these things called microtones, which if you imagine the piano keyboard, you know, have the white keys and the black keys, and imagine there are a lot more notes in between, which gives a lot more possibilities for melodic structures and a lot more ornamentation. Actually, oud is not my primary instrument. This is an instrument that I picked up when I was doing my master's, but I fell in love with it. And I was actually I grew up with Turkish music, but I really didn't play, you know, a traditional instrument until I, again, started my master's. So now this is pretty much all I do. But I apologize to any oud masters who might be listening to us today.
Well, let's hear. Let's hear what you have to play.
So this is not going to be one of the tunes in the concert, but this is a lament, and the words go, the chorus goes, "Oh, death, cruel death, take a break for 3 days." And this is from the early 20th century, from the Balkan regions. Çaydan aşağıya aman aman mezarımı kazın bre dostlar belden aşağıya. Mezarımı kazın bre dostlar, belden aşağıya. Selanik içinde selam okunur. Aman, aman, selanın sedası bre dostlar, bana dokunur. Of ölüm zalimim.
rêver. Oy aman, oy, oy aman, oy.
Very nice, Egemen Kesikli. You were saying that the lyrics had to do with death, take a rest for 3 days, and the benefit concert that you're helping to organize is in response to a very deadly earthquake. What are your reflections on the healing power of music?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, I think it's healing for anyone who makes it. You know, I don't mean to be selfish as a musician here, but for me, how I was able to finally feel like I have to do something. I mean, I can't just be suffering because people have already suffered so much in this and I have to do something about it. But because it's such a tragedy, in the first couple of days, I just could not get out of that very just dark, sad place. And really what got me out of that place was, you know, that I have music to offer. And if it is healing for me, it has to be healing for other people too. And the other thing, of course, is that music is just healing, period, in the sense that, you know, and that's the nice thing about, I think, folk music in general, is that it is written all about the feelings, and it's just to express the, sometimes, you know, the happiness, some joy, but, you know, usually just they are, and especially in this region, there has been for centuries so many tragedies, and people have written so many lamentations, and even when some of the music from this region is happy, there is always some level of bittersweet. So I think culturally, most West Asian countries, I guess similar to all countries who have their own folk traditions, music shows feelings, music shows experience, music, and it ends up being healing because it, first of all, acknowledges the issues and then sings along with it. And I think both for musicians who are going to be part of this concert and for anyone who will attend will feel a little bit hopeful for humanity that maybe we, because I mean, at the end of the day, these gatherings are to show support and to be able to, of course, you know, support both, you know, emotionally and financially. Our ultimate goal is to be able to, you know, support children from the affected regions and provide supporting NGOs that will provide scholarship to these children. So I think healing in terms of the little feelings, but healing also in terms of helping some of these children build a life are two of our ultimate goals in this concert.
This concert will be happening on Sunday, June 25th at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
at the Muse Performance Space in Lafayette.
Correct.
Where can folks find out more information?
Absolutely. At the website of Turkish American Cultural Society of Colorado, taxco.org, TACSCO.org. You can find ticket information there as well as more information about our cause, about the, in general, all of the fundraisers and other ways to support Turkey and Syria.
Egemen Kesikli is a performer and a composer who teaches at Colorado State University and is the director of CU Boulder's Soundworks. Can you take us out with some instrumental music?
Absolutely.
All right, y'all, which one of y'all keeps doing a rain dance? It's like every day now. It's getting old. This has nothing to do with sports. Hello and welcome back to Sports Talk here on KGNU. I, of course, am your host, Jimmy Searfoss, coming at you with the very best of the best when it comes to talking sports, especially here on KGNU, where we have the best sports radio show. I am back here in the studio after a little vacation. I took a trip back home to enjoy some friends and family, and apparently I missed a lot. Firstly, the Nuggets won their first NBA championship. But you already knew that because chances are you heard of the estimated 700,000 person parade that took place here in Denver, Colorado, and that's about 200,000 more people than last year's parade when the Avalanche won their championship. But not quite as packed as the Denver Broncos parade, which attracted over 1 million of you guys. Denver fans absolutely pack that city anytime there's some kind of championship. You guys sure know how to party. And then Denver just kept on winning. Because after that, Wyndham Clark won the 123rd U.S. Open, one of the four major championships in golf. Now, if you're asking who Mr. Clark is, you might want to familiarize yourself with him because he's just a hometown kid. He's from right down the road here in Denver, Colorado. He did go to Valor Christian High School, one of the most dominant high schools in the state when it comes to just about any athletic event. There, he won two state titles in golf, but his dominance in Colorado didn't stop there, as he won the Pac-12 championship while attending the University of Oregon. And which course did he win that championship at? The one here in Boulder at the Boulder County Country Club. Clark is the first-born Coloradan golfer to hoist the big U.S. Open trophy. Oh, and get the $3.6 million that comes alongside with it. Now, he didn't get a parade, but he was seen chugging some sort of what we can only assume to be alcoholic beverage out of the trophy in Los Angeles after the tournament. And honestly, can you even blame him? He just won one of the biggest events in golf and over $3 million. He can do whatever he wants with that trophy. So now that makes last year's Avalanche team winning the championship, the Denver Broncos Super Bowl back in 2015, the Nuggets this year, Clark's Open win, the Colorado Mammoth Lacrosse Championship last year, and you know what? Let's toss the Colorado women's basketball team on there for making it to the Sweet 16. What a decade it's been to be a fan of sports here in Colorado. And you know, it's only going to get better because these teams are still pretty darn good. And soon we might have to toss CU football on that list as they keep trending in the right direction. I know I sure wouldn't mind seeing them win something more than just one game. If you're ever wondering what the good old days of Denver sports are, they're right now, so enjoy them while they last. And that is just about all the time I got for you here on KGNU. You can catch me at this same time here next week. I've been your host, Jimmy Searfoss. Have a good Friday.
Time now for .org, spotlighting the work of local nonprofits and co-ops.
Hi, this is Chris Schultz from KGNews.org, and I'm here with Marco Morelli from Cosmos Cooperative. Marco, you want to tell us a little bit about your cooperative and what you guys do?
I'd love to. Thank you, Chris, for having me. Cosmos Co-op, it's an organization that's both local as well as global. We focus on creating creative community and publishing. So we're a member-owned publishing platform and community. We've done reading groups, writing groups. We have an online journal called Metapsychosis. And most recently, we launched a publishing imprint called Untimely Books, through which we've been publishing books in both print and ebook format. So last year, we published two books. One was a science fiction novel, and the other was a book of philosophical essays. And this year, we have six more books coming out, and we're starting to queue up books for next year as well.
How did you guys get into the cooperative model?
Well, it really started because I'm a writer, and at a certain point, I saw two paths ahead of me, neither of which appealed. On the one hand, was going like a traditional publishing route and trying to pitch my book to big publishers. And then the other hand was like a self-publishing route and branding myself and just trying to go solo. And I realized that what I really wanted was to build community and to have readers and readers who weren't just consumers, but were participants in a culture. So I just started researching different models. And I had been a member of a food co-op and had also been involved in a couple of other nonprofits and other initiatives. But the co-op model just made sense to me because it felt like the most empowering, you know, creating community, but also like enabling us to potentially make a living.
There's a lot of different kind of co-op models. You guys are more of an owner co-op, is that right?
That's right. Although technically we're in the process of finishing up our bylaws and creating our constitution, and we're structuring ourselves as a multi-stakeholder cooperative. So the three main membership types are one, creative members, who are people like myself and the other authors we're publishing. They have projects, like they have books or they have films or music or whatever they're contributing, and we're collaborating. We would also have worker members. In other words, people who are keeping everything running and also having a say. And then finally would be what we call sustaining members, who are like the equivalent of our community, people that want to support what we're doing, want to participate in events. They may just be involved in conversations. And that allows everyone to have some influence in the community as a whole.
So the artist members, are they also collaborative in their work?
That's exactly what we're doing. Our members have been collaborating as artists, visual artists, as editors. So for example, the science fiction book we published called Plenum, the first book of Deo by Jeffrey Jen Edwards, they brought that book to the community after having been involved in a reading group for a totally different work. I thought, well, that's a great idea. Why don't we publish it? So then I became an editor and another collaborator became an editor. My wife, Kayla, is a graphic designer, so she did the book design. Someone else submitted the cover artwork. Another person did proofreading, and we all just pulled together to make it happen.
And then I also noticed you guys have something called Infinite Conversations. Is that so an online web forum?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's a community space. It's an open forum, so anybody can join it. But also through there, we organize face-to-face conversations. There's a series on there called The Cosmos Cafe. That looks at philosophy and cosmology and consciousness studies. And we also do literature and some science as well. It's more of a free form sort of format. We read something in common, we get together and we just talk about it for a couple of hours.
It seems like a perfect opportunity to ask you, how can folks find you guys online and in the real world?
Go to our website, cosmos.coop. We have contact form there. We have some information about the co-op as a whole and how we work. If you want to look into some of our other projects, our online journal is Metapsychosis. So that's at metapsychosis.com, Metapsychosis. InfiniteConversations.com is our discussion forum, and then our books are through.
That's all for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Thanks to Benita Lee, Port Jaejeong Kit, Kira Zizzo, Alexis Kenyon, Jacob Agatston, Jimmy Searfoss, and Chris Schultz for their work on today's program. Stay tuned for Connections.